can have a wonderful day today in the Lord, and it's such a joy to be here this morning. Amen. Returning this morning to our study, actually, that we have on Wednesdays, but we're turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're going to continue our studies there this morning. I was preparing for Wednesday. I lost all sense of time and what day it was, and was getting ready and got up and was so excited about what the Lord had laid on my heart, and then realized that it wasn't my turn to do the study on Wednesday. So I said, well, Lord, allow me to preach it then on Sunday, because I was just so excited about it. John chapter 14 is probably, I believe, to be one of the most important chapters in the entire Word of God. I didn't say the most important, but one of the most important chapters in the entire Word of God. Our Lord has gathered His disciples together in this upper chamber. And as we said already concerning chapter 13, He said a lot of things that's brought the hearts of the disciples to be troubled. Judas has now left the room. He's gone out to betray the Son of Man into the hands of sinners. Christ said, that which you must do, or that which thou doest, doest quickly. And Judas rose up and left the 11 disciples and our Lord alone. And as soon as he did that, our Lord turns and deals with Peter. Peter says, I'll lay down my life for thee. Our Lord humbles Peter and says, Peter, wilt thou lay down thy life for me? Verily I say unto you, you shall deny me three times before the cock crows. I'm sure that worked mightily in the hearts of all the disciples, because they all looked up to Peter as being the outspoken one. As a matter of fact, as you compare the Gospels and the book of Acts, you'll see that Peter and John held important places amongst the disciples. They were the pillars. So I'm sure those other disciples were saying, well, if Peter is going to deny the Lord, what will happen with us? Shall we also deny the Lord? It was also when he said, our Lord said, one of you shall betray me. Did they not all say, Lord, is it I? So I'm sure a lot of things are going through the disciples' minds. Judas is going to betray them. They're not sure it's him, and yet Judas is left, and now Peter is going to deny the Lord three times. I'm sure this greatly troubled their hearts. Because if Peter the pillar would fall, where would the rest of them be? And you know, there's a lot of things about ourselves when God reveals it to us that greatly humbles us. Sometimes we think more of ourselves than we should. But God is gracious and loving and kind. And He says, when you're weak, then you're strong. Because when you're weak in yourself, then you'll understand what it is to be strong in my all-sufficient grace. Sinners deny that. They want to be strong in themselves. They want to prove to the world that they're capable of doing everything on their own. And yet the true believer is greatly privileged and blessed when God humbles him, because he knows when God humbles him that he shall receive more grace. And so now Judas is left, and the hearts of the disciples are troubled. And our Lord begins in chapter 14, He begins to heal those broken hearts when He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He who Himself made them sore with grief would now begin to bind up their grieving hearts. It's like a surgeon who must first expose the wound in order to apply the proper medicine. Oftentimes our Lord will expose the wounds of our selfish pride and of our arrogance so that He might be able to apply the mercy and grace of God. And beloved, our Lord does it so wonderfully here in John chapter 13 and in John chapter 14 when He exposes their wounds. And then immediately as soon as He does that, He begins to bind up their hearts. Our Lord is called the great physician. Like a surgeon, so often He does His work very carefully, very tenderly. And I know sometimes it's grievous when those wounds are made exposed. And yet without the exposing of those wounds, we could never receive the proper medication to heal us. Many of you have been oftentimes to the doctor, and the process you went through was very painful. Yet you went through that painful process because you had hoped that the doctor doing all that would eventually heal your problem. And so it is with God. So often we can't be healed of ourselves. We can't be weaned from sin until God, like a surgeon, opens up our wounds and exposes our illness and our disease that He might apply the mercy and grace needed. This is why David said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me, and cleanse me from all my sins." That's exactly what our Lord did. He was preparing His disciples for the wonderful truths He would tell them in chapter 14. "Peter, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily," John chapter 13, verse 38, "I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And then immediately afterwards, the great physician says, "But let not your heart be troubled." You see how quickly Christ would speak peace to His troubled hearts? What a wonderful Savior we have. Though He's the one that caused the sore grief, it was Peter who would deny Him, yet our Lord exposed it. And our Lord exposed it so that He might help Peter. And He quickly speaks peace to Peter and all the others. Though these things are true, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He prepared them for this verse, for chapter 14, because He's fixing to tell them a truth that would overwhelm their hearts and their minds. He wanted them to know something which was a great mystery up till now. Something that was not even intended for the ears of Judas, for he's already left. Something not intended for the ears of the world, for they're in closed doors. And beloved, it's a wonderful mystery He begins to speak of. In verse 6 He says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." What an amazing statement. He's beginning to reveal unto them something that would overwhelm their hearts with joy. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He immediately does away with all the Old Testament ordinances and sacrifices and foreshadows. "Oh, there's no other way to God but by me. I am the only way." And the Jews had a lot of sacrifices in the Old Testament. They had more than just the Ten Commandments. They had many commandments. They had the Holy of Holies, where only the priest, the high priest, could enter in once a year. Nobody else but him. And he would give out the blood. And it was once a year he had to do that for the sins of Israel. But nobody else could look into that Holy of Holies except that high priest. Everyone else was bound outside the curtain. They couldn't see the glory of God when it descended down on the altar. But Christ is now saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He does away with all those things. And so the disciples are beginning to wonder, who exactly is this Lord Jesus Christ? We've been with Him for 3 years, and yet we have so much we don't know about Him. Look at what He says later that He says in verse 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Listen to this. I need your attention. He's beginning to reveal something glorious about Himself. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him." Oh, wait a minute. The Old Testament says no man has seen God and lived. But Christ is beginning to declare unto disciples, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father." Can you imagine what's going through their minds at this very moment? Listen to this. "Philip saith unto him" in verse 8, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." Listen to what our Lord says. "Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" "Philip, you've asked me to show you the Father. Have I been so long with you, and you don't know me, Philip?" I wonder if Philip stood for a minute and thought about that. "I just asked Him to show me the Father, and yet Christ says, I am the Father. I've revealed unto you the Father. Do you not know me, Philip? He that has seen me
has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Oh, dearly beloved, our Lord is beginning to reveal unto them a mystery which they have not known up to this time. They should have, but they didn't. That's why the Lord says, have I been so long with you and you don't know me? Remember in verse 1 He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then He begins to explain to them why you need to believe in me. Because I am the Father. He is in me and I am in Him. And we dwell, we're one with the Holy Spirit. Oh, how I pity those who don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. Our unity is such a wonderful thing, and it is so great that I do nothing on my own. Everything that I've said unto you is the words of my Father. All the works that I've done are the works of my Father working through me. Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I'm revealing to you my Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. You don't have your Bible, I'll read it. Hebrews chapter 1. Also some verses that I greatly enjoy. Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to the Word of God speaking about Christ and the Father. Listen to this. The author says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. He's talking to the Son, or about the Son. Who, He says in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. In John chapter 14, the Lord begins to reveal this unto the disciples. I'm telling you a mystery. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You need to understand that I am the one, and I am the only one that can reveal unto you the Father, because the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. In me, He says, you'll see the Father like you've never known God before. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament His handiwork. In Psalms chapter 19, we can look into the stars and see the glory of God. We can look into the wonderful creation and stand amazed at the things God has created. And they do declare the glory of God. He's a gracious God. But yet in the face of Jesus Christ, we see God like nothing else can show us. You see why Jesus is so precious? Because He's the express image of His person. He's the brightness, He says, of His glory. He's the radiance of everything that God is. He reveals His perfections. He reveals everything about God is in Jesus Christ. This is something the disciples were yet blinded to, even though they should have known it. When He raised the dead, when He healed the blind that they could see, when He cleansed the leper, they should have realized this is more than just a mortal man. Yes, it is Christ. Yet in John chapter 14, Christ takes them a little bit further and says, you don't understand, but I'm going to help you to understand that I am the way to the Father, the only way. I am the truth about the Father, and I am the very life, eternal life. Through me you shall see God like you've never seen Him before. Through me you shall know God like you've never seen Him before. Not through sacrifices, not through blood atonement once a year by the high priest. The veil has been rent asunder, it says in Hebrews. And now it's open to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, is Christ not precious to those who believe? Why? Because Christ is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Hast thou not known me, Philip? You asked to see the Father. I've been showing you the Father. You ask to hear the Father. I've been speaking His words. You see why Jesus Christ is so precious in the eyes of the believer? And believe me, with all my travels throughout Europe and seeing the Swiss Alps and the beautiful countries and in Scotland and England and Rocky Mountains in Colorado, the Grand Canyon, I mean, it takes your breath away to see what God has done. And yet in the face of Jesus Christ, we see God more glorious than any creation could ever show us. You see why He's more precious to the believer? Oh, He's revealing a wonderful secret to His disciples. Hast thou not known me, Philip? You seek the Father. He's in me. I am the way to Him. I'm the truth about Him. And I am the life that leads to Him. I will show you the Father like you've never seen Him before. Oh, the Old Testament was merely shadows. The sacrifices of the lambs and the goats, the blood on the altar, the cherubim, and everything that was symbol or picture, those are all done away with in Jesus Christ. I'll show you the Father like you've never known Him before, like no man has known God before. Oh, you see the wonderful, glorious things about Jesus Christ. This is why He's so precious to the believer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Why do you think the angels heralded so loud when the birth of Jesus Christ, when they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. Here's the Savior of the world. God is going to manifest Himself through His Son. He's going to reveal Himself in such a wonderful way. You say, oh, I want to see, I want to know the love of God. Well, the love of God is manifested in that He gave His Son, His only beloved Son, for our sins. No man has seen God at any time, the Lord said. Listen to this. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. You know where the bosom is? The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, in the heart of the Father. He comes from His deepest affections, His warmest feelings. The Son that is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Oh, it's all about Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. Everything's about Him. Heaven would not be heaven without Jesus Christ. Keep the mansions. Keep the golden streets, the pearly gates. Keep the river of life, the throne of God. It's nothing without Christ. Heaven is heaven because Christ is there. Precious name, oh how sweet. He declares the Father. And only He can. You see, that's why the sinners look at Christ. They see nothing in Him that becomes them. They don't see any beauty in Him, Isaiah says. They don't understand who it is. Isaiah says they look upon Him, they see no beauty in Him, that they should desire Him. But oh, the believer sees something by faith the world will never see. The love of God in Jesus Christ. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Isn't He a wonderful Savior? What a wonderful God. And oh, the Lord waited until this night before His crucifixion, after He had greatly humbled them and Judas was now gone. He turns to His disciples and said, now let me tell you a mystery that is going to overwhelm you and change your life forever. You believe in God, believe also in me, and this is why. Because I'm going to reveal Him unto you like you've never known Him before. Have you ever had those precious times and their only seasons in your life when Christ felt so close and so near that you thought your heart would burst? And like Moses in the cleft of that rock when God just revealed His good parts after only seeing a few of them, Moses held his hand up and said, oh God, that's enough. I cannot sustain anymore. Have you ever had those times when God felt so near Jesus Christ? The world looks at us and says, you're crazy. Have you not known me, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father in a way which no one has ever seen before. That's where they also got some of that song, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me that I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Do you know God like that in Christ Jesus? Do you know Christ Jesus? Then you know something of this great love and mercy of which He speaks. Philip saith to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and hast not known me, Philip? Isaac Watts, an old hymn writer, wrote this. Listen to it. Arrayed in mortal flesh, the covenant angel stands and holds the promises and pardons in his hand, commissioned from his Father's throne to make his grace to mortals known. What a wonderful old song. To make his grace to mortals known. How did God do that? He sent his Son in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And he said, now reveal me unto the sinful man like they've never known me or could ever know me. I'm going to show them my love through my Son. And through him they'll see my glory and my majesty. They'll see my love and my perfections. They'll see my mercy and my grace. Oh, they'll hear me cry through my Son, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For God, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Beloved, there was something and there still is something in sinful man more dark than Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when it said darkness was upon the face of the earth. Oh, the heart of a sinful man is dark as dark can be. But oh, when the gospel shines into that heart, it says, out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Listen to this. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see that? In the face of Jesus Christ. What a glorious day. What a wonderful Savior. You believe in God? Believe also in me. And let me tell you why you must believe in me. Because I am the only way, the truth, and the life. If you've seen me, oh, you've seen the Father. You've heard the Father. Have I been so long with you, Philip, that thou hast not known me? Oh, listen to the words of our Savior as He speaks to His disciples, revealing this great mystery unto them. Oh, I pray. You understand now why Paul says, if no man love Christ, let him be Ananatha, Maranatha. That's cursed forever. If you don't love Christ, the greatest sin a sinner commits is not loving Christ. The greatest privilege we have as Christians is to love Christ with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That is the great commandment. And it would be virtually impossible without Christ, who is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. So Jesus is revealing something magnificent in John chapter 14. Something greater than anything the disciples had heard till now. Let me quickly close with a few thoughts in this text and we'll finish it on Wednesday. But listen to what he says in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you see that? If you don't believe me for the word's sake, believe me for the work's sake. Beloved, that should be the testimony we should have as Christians before the world. If you don't believe the words that I tell you, watch my life. Look at God working in my life. See how He's working in me and helping me be a better Christian. How He's making me sanctified and more holy. Watch my works. James says, if you want to see my faith, watch my works. And the Lord said, you'll do greater works than I did. You know, when our Lord was crucified, there was only a few people at the foot of the cross. According to the world, He was an apparent failure. He saved one thief on the cross. The Lord says, after I've gone to my Father, you will do greater works than I will. You shall see the conversions of countless souls because I am by the Father interceding on your behalf. You shall do greater works than I ever did as I walked amongst men. And there is no greater work than the salvation of a soul. Whatsoever you ask in my name, believing, I will do it. Believe in me. As you believe in the Father. because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, beloved, I pray your hearts would be warmed. I pray your affections for Christ would be so heated up that your cup would overfloweth, and that you would fall drastically, wonderfully, graciously anew in love with Christ, because nothing is more precious in this world or eternity than Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, a Savior of mine. You believe in God, believe also in Christ, for He shall show you the Father in a magnificent way. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. Have you been so long with Christ that you know not the Father? Oh, I pray that you would learn to know Christ in a saving manner. Oh, that would be my prayer, that you might come to know Him in a saving manner. He's a wonderful Savior. And beloved, if you're a Christian this morning, your heart's cold and indifferent, oh, I pray you'd read John 14 and let the Word of God melt your heart and inflame your love and affection for Christ again. Let that first love just fill your heart and your mind, for He is precious to the believer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, how we pray that You take the words that were spoken today, and Lord, as feeble and frail as they are, God, we pray that You'd stir in the hearts and minds of everyone here. Lord, we thank You. You're so precious to us. How could we ever repay You? We could never repay the debt we owe You for dying on Calvary, for loving us while we were yet sinners. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, be with these dear people. Bless this day before them. Draw nigh to them. Embrace them with Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. And Lord, those this morning that know not Christ, oh, Lord God, may You lead them to Calvary. Let them see their sins and their need of Thee. And then, God, we pray that You'd embrace him with the arms of Your everlasting salvation. We love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.